Okay, let's unpack this. When I first read our source material for today, Wirbel Lebenssäule, which translates to spine pillar of life, well, it really made me reconsider my own foundation. Have you ever truly thought about your spine as more than just, a collection of bones?
It's a fascinating starting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
What the source immediately highlights is this really beautiful paradox.
Okay.
Leben aus etwas Dynamisches und Säule aus etwas Statisches. Life is dynamic and a pillar as static.
Right, opposites.
Exactly. Yet our spine, our Lebenssäule, it's constantly seeking its balance right there in that interplay, which suggests, I think, a far deeper connection to our existence than we typically acknowledge.
Absolutely. So our mission for this deep dive then is to explore this really profound metaphor.
Right.
We're going to try and extract the most important nuggets of knowledge, the insights about how our spine is presented, not just physically,
No, not just the structure.
but as this core pillar for our physical, emotional, even our spiritual well-being. So get ready for some hopefully serious aha moments about your own foundation.
Should be interesting.
Okay, let's jump right into this central paradox the source introduces. The term pillar of life, it connects these two seemingly opposing ideas.
Yeah.
Life, dynamic, pillar, static. What does the source actually mean by pillar here?
Well, the material defines a pillar primarily by its capacity to bear weight.
Okay, makes sense. Load bearing.
Right. And it notes that a pillar gets brittle, weak, when it's overloaded.
Right, too much pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And much like any structure, when a pillar's lifespan is over, its components just return to the cycle of life.
Like the source says, even proud palaces eventually turn to dust.
That's the image, yeah. This sets up the fundamental idea that our spine, very much like an architectural pillar, is constantly seeking equilibrium
Equilibrium between what exactly?
between movement and rest, dynamic and static forces, and even, life and that eventual return.
Okay, now here's where it got really interesting for me. The source talks about the spine's earliest creation phase,
Ah, yes, in the womb.
moving almost weightlessly in the mother's life water, as it calls it. And after just a few months, humans destined for upright walking are naturally drawn towards this purpose. What does the source tell us about the state of a child's spine then?
It offers a really profound, almost philosophical perspective on early childhood.
Okay.
The material suggests that in their first 3 years, children live largely unveiled, carrying what Indian philosophy might call the spirit of Shiva.
Or Steiner's Christ spirit.
Right, or that. Their spine is described as Kreuzerinnenrad aufgerichtet, straight as a candle,
Wow.
freely movable, unimpeded. Why? Because Earth's gravity and the world's burdens haven't curved it yet.
So it's about purity.
That's the key insight, yeah. It symbolizes this unburdened connection to a universal life force, reflecting a profound purity of being.
That's such a vivid picture. The source goes on describing this sort of otherworldly light often radiating through children's eyes,
From their hearts, their whole body.
warming others. And it can even make people wistful, apparently, remembering their own origin or maybe a forgotten vision or destiny.
It's a powerful image, isn't it?
It really is.
And the source emphasizes that life didn't just shape us as, luminous pillars, but specifically as dynamic
The
co-creators.
co-creators.
Yeah, we're meant to be independent bearers of responsibility, creative seekers of new paths.
And our spine is ready for that.
Perfectly prepared. At birth, it already has 32 bones, 64 joints, 26 partial joints.
So many moving parts.
All meticulously designed for incredible suppleness and flexibility. It's quite amazing.
And this design, it's truly remarkable, isn't it? The structure, this constant alternation of hard bone, soft discs, plus these physiological oscillations in the frontal plane, it allows for this springing resilience.
Exactly. And a rhythmically swaying, almost dance-like gait.
A dance-like gait, I like that.
And the pull of Earth's gravity, the source actually says, it trains its resilient uprighting fork
Trains it.
by providing resistance, encouraging us to create always new dances through life. It's a dynamic relationship.
Okay.
And this uprighting of the spine into our human form, it enables that far-reaching planning gaze forward, seeing the horizon.
But it also means we can overlook what's right nearby.
Yes, that's the trade-off sometimes.
Huh.
We can look up to the sky, but also down at what might seem low. And it exposes the vulnerability of our soft belly.
Which sounds negative, but.
But that vulnerability also opens us up to deeper emotional exchange, even direct full-body connection with others.
And this feels key to the source's message. Only a perfectly straight posture, it says, allows for a truly free energy flow along the spine.
That's a central point.
Meaning relaxed muscles, front and back, free breathing, neck, chest, flanks, belly, kidneys, all of it.
Yes.
But what exactly does the source mean by free energy flow here? Is it like chi?
It seems to refer to that, yes. Yep. The optimal circulation of the body's subtle life force, chi, or prana, as some traditions call it.
Like the body's internal communication network.
That's a good way to put it. Think of it like optimizing that flow, similar to blood flow, but maybe more fundamental, more energetic.
Okay.
And when that flow is unhindered, the source really emphasizes this, our consciousness is then entirely free.
Free for what?
For constructive, illuminating thoughts and feelings. It's about mental and emotional clarity that stems directly from vertical alignment.
But there's always a but, isn't there?
Well, yes. The source acknowledges the flip side. Life on Earth also means separation, toil.
Right. It talks about the pain of separating from the security of the maternal spine.
Mm-hmm. And other unsupported childhood experiences.
And these can cause us to unconsciously sort of close our chest too tightly around a startled heart.
Yes, making us forget how to breathe and feel freely. It's a protective mechanism that becomes limiting.
So we carry that tension.
And we often unconsciously burden ourselves with more than our spine can actually bear.
Causing it to curve, literally, under the load of life.
Exactly. Which leads to a really critical point from the source.
What's that?
What happens if we refuse or struggle with what it calls humble bending, you know, accepting limitations or necessary changes?
Okay, what happens?
The material suggests, quite starkly, that a harsh fate might ultimately break our stiff-neckedness.
Break it.
Bend our backs and literally force our gaze back down to the earth, making us confront what we've been resisting.
Wow, that's a powerful image.
It is.
And we might also feel like we stand totally alone in life, unable to lean on anything or truly relax.
Yes. And just like a physical pillar, the source claims we often seek our life's meaning in carrying burdens.
But not just today's burdens.
No, that's the striking part. It says we often load the most burden onto our spine by leaning forward.
Under the imagined weight of tomorrow.
Yes. Or leaning backward out of fear of letting go of yesterday's support. We're not fully in the present moment's load.
That resonates.
And a compelling insight here is how the source then brings in the example of pillars in relationships, like in architecture. It highlights that only the right distance in each pillar resting within itself, only that makes a building stable, capable of bearing weight.
So not leaning on each other too much.
Perhaps.
Okay.
And interestingly, it notes that many pillars, both physical and metaphorical, give meaning simply through their beauty.
How so?
And through their reference to that connection between heaven and earth, implying this kind of elegant, self-contained support.
Okay. So bringing this all together, what does this mean for us, the listener, in practical terms? How do we actually apply this wisdom?
Well, the source suggests that the human being who straightens up against the earth's burden.
Actively.
Yes, actively. Dancing through life with awareness of these polarities, life's depth. That person enriches creation with its highest meaning. It's about engagement, not just passive endurance.
And that transformation, it seems to start early, according to the source.
It does.
We can't remove the pain of separation for an infant, it says.
Impossible.
But we can lovingly embrace our children, our inner children, even our fellow humans within the protective strength of our own spine.
Using our own centeredness as a support.
And we might not notice when a small child unconsciously takes on an adult's burden or feels responsible for the whole family.
It happens so subtly.
But we can strive not to unconsciously pass on our own limitations, our unprocessed burdens.
That's the responsibility, yes. And a good point the source makes, too, is that we shouldn't try to remove every single burden from our children or others.
Why not?
Because those can be invaluable opportunities for growth. Challenges build strength.
Right, not overprotecting.
But we can offer support when their strength fails, ideally before their back curves and the area around their heart hardens, as the source puts it.
It's about discernment then, knowing when to help and when to let them build strength.
Precisely.
That raises a really important point about personal resilience, doesn't it?
It does.
The source acknowledges we can't shy away from every inconvenient burden. Sometimes you have to maintain an outer posture, stand your ground.
Even when your back feels like it's about to break. We've all felt that.
Yeah. But, it says, we can strive to carry only the burden of the present moment.
Consciously.
With full awareness of its meaning and necessity. And here's the key bit, I think.
Go on.
A burden carried with joy often ceases to be a burden at all. It reveals its true purpose.
That's a profound shift in perspective. And this is where that dynamic equilibrium really comes in.
How so?
The source offers more wisdom here. It says we need to learn that love cannot be bought and doesn't need to be bought by just bearing burdens for others.
Oh, that's huge.
Isn't it? And it's also meaningful and actually fun, it says, to gain stable support through constant practice in dynamic equilibrium.
Okay, practice how?
Physically, through strong, flexible, relaxed muscles. Emotionally, through regularly cleansed energy channels.
Those unseen pathways, like in yoga or acupuncture.
Exactly, those points of vitality. And having a sensitive body and feeling awareness. And spiritually, through a free, naturally ordered, centered personality, it's holistic.
Right. Connecting this to the bigger picture then, it seems we need burdens not just to grow.
Although that's important.
But crucially, to learn to accept support. To learn to truly live together.
Yes. We need them to uncover inner and outer power sources and to become a connection, a conduit for the forces of heaven and earth.
And paradoxically, we need the burdens to better enjoy the relief.
Exactly. To appreciate the phases of unloading.
Yeah.
Like our inner vertebral discs, we thrive on that constant alternation, appropriate loading, then unloading.
Okay. So once we start to learn this way of being, life on Earth isn't just a burden on our back anymore.
That's the idea. The Earth itself carries us. We learn to release our weight to it, consciously, not just when we're lying down.
How does that work?
The Earth, with the power of its elements, can actually become a cleansing, refreshing source of our life force.
A source?
Yes. A school for our uprighting strength and a field for our creative power. Its beauty, its diversity, can then express through our own joy of life.
Opening the door to experiencing inner beauties, too.
Precisely.
And the key to that door, the source suggests, is the free unfolding of our spine.
It comes back to the spine.
The upright posture of the head and pelvis. The art of free, conscious breathing. That's what opens the gate.
That's what opens the gate for the free energy flow. In our spine, our whole body, and even in our contact with our surroundings.
Allowing us to rest in a stable, relaxed inner and outer equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. So even in times of stress, we don't completely lose connection to our inner and outer support.
We can return to center more quickly.
Exactly. And in times of balance, we radiate calm, strength, joy.
That sounds ideal.
And what's truly compelling here is the ripple effect described.
Ripple effect.
When attuned to life this way, our spine becomes a clear channel. Through it, we receive the necessary strength for optimally fulfilling our tasks in every situation.
Okay, like what kind of tasks?
It covers so much. Accomplishing work with joyful concentration, utmost care, becoming one with the beauty of a landscape or the mood of a sunset, allowing beautiful music to permeate us in deep silence, even merging with a partner in shared breathing along the spine.
What does it call that?
Common soaring flights. These moments of deep shared transcendence or emotional connection in relationship.
That's beautiful.
Or just seeing the flower or the depth in the gaze of a passerby at a crossroads. It enhances perception.
And with this improved energetic supply to those energy centers.
The chakras or similar points located in and in front of the spine.
The source explains our inner organs improve. Immune system, hormonal balance, sensory perception.
Yes, it claims all that improves too. We become more sensitive to energy in our body, our surroundings, our own feelings, others' feelings, thoughts, weaknesses, strengths,
yeah.
A heightened awareness.
So connecting this to the bigger picture, with the eyes and ears of the heart, as it puts it.
Yes.
We start to see messages, parables, the deeper meaning of life in just everyday events.
That's the implication. With this free flow of life energy in the spine and the free unfolding of our inner perceptive power, the dominance of just thinking, willing, acting, that relativizes, it becomes less absolute.
So we're not just doing, doing, doing.
Exactly. We learn to truly enjoy the beauty and stillness of our being and become free for contact with the origin, the basic energy of all life.
Which the source calls.
What we call love.
And that, the source suggests, might be the noblest task of our life pillar.
What's that?
To create a genuine expression for the beauty and love we feel within us.
A beautiful summation.
So wrapping this up, what does this all really mean for you listening? This deep dive, it's really unpacked the idea that our spine is so much more than just bones.
Absolutely.
It's the symbolic pillar of life, isn't it? A dynamic core balancing movement and rest.
A conduit for vital energy.
And just a profound reflection of our whole journey through life's burdens and triumphs.
Ultimately, the source suggests the quality, the duration, the meaning of our life pillar.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends profoundly on the sensitive care of our body. The free flow of life energy through our spine into our entire being.
Right.
The free unfolding of our soul. It's all connected.
So maybe as you move through your day to day, just take a moment to consider, in what ways might your own pillar of life be asking for maybe a different kind of support right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps just maybe to express a deeper kind of beauty and love, something to think about.